Within astrobiology and thinking about alien biochemistry, there is a known bias. This bias is quite simply that we've only ever seen one brand of life, our own. All life on Earth adheres to a set of rules in chemistry based on carbon, that while successful, may also blind us to the possibilities of life that simply doesn't work like anything on Earth. There are some reasons to think this, but there are also reasons to think otherwise. One reason to focus on our kind of life on Earth is its success. It's been going for over 3.8 billion years, in a genetic line stretching from the beginning to now. We also see no independent life on Earth. All of it is of one kind. What we have not seen is a second abiogenesis, where Earth spawned unrelated life for a second time. This may simply be due to the perhaps likely situation where any new biochemistry that may arise gets immediately eaten or otherwise fatally interfered with by the pre-existent life of a world. This is interesting in the sense of panspermia. It may be that rocks do deliver alien life to Earth regularly, either through interaction with some other life-bearing entity in the solar system, through meteorite transfer, if there is indeed other life in the solar system, but also potentially through panspermia, where interstellar life might survive long enough in a meteorite from another exoplanet to make it here, a tall order. But in either case, it may be the tenacious life of Earth immediately sterilizes anything it comes into contact with. Earth would be a self-sterilizing planet in this regard. Though that opens up the spooky possibility that if panspermia does indeed happen, what happens if it delivers a superbug that can sterilize Earth? Thankfully, in the entire billions of year long story of life on Earth, this does not appear to have ever happened, and thus that type of extinction event may be rare or impossible. Though if it were possible, it's one of the worst that could truly sanitize a life-bearing world. Perhaps rocks blasted off Earth have done this to other worlds in the solar system, such as Europa. Perhaps there was once indigenous microbial life there, but it was replaced by E. coli or some other stronger representative of Earth long before the advent of spacecraft. But it may also be that we may have other instances of unrelated life here on Earth, but our microbial detection abilities simply do not look for this life. That's the shadow biosphere, and it's actually surprising how tailored our methods of detecting microbial life are very much dependent on that life being of our kind. As a result, shadow biospheres remain hypothetical, but possible, even here on this world. What often gets overlooked, however, mainly because we don't know how to look for it, are forms of alien life that do not conform to our kind of life on Earth. This includes things like hypothetical life based not on carbon, but silicon, an idea going back many decades. But there are many other forms of this thinking. One question that could be asked is about RNA and DNA. We work on those rules, and they certainly are a fantastic way to store and pass on data, if you wish to call it that, from one generation to the next, indefinitely. Granted, there are changes and mutations, but life gets its point across with RNA and DNA. But one could ponder cells and viruses that have neither, and instead rely on other biochemical signatures to function. One of the problems in addressing the question, however, is that we don't really have a great answer as to just what life is, at least at its most basic level. One definition is that it's any chemical system that's self-sustaining and capable of Darwinian evolution. I can think of many arguments against that, and many have, but it's the current working definition. While I'd have a hard time calling a microbe that's clearly so, but doesn't undergo evolution as non-life. That aside, this definition does have the virtue that it does not pigeonhole itself into the biochemistry of our kind of life, but leaves open the question for other forms. This really splits into a number of different areas and possibilities. The one that has the most plausibility is alternative chirality. This can be expressed, really oversimplified, as left or right-handed biomolecules. In Earth life, amino acids are nearly universally one form, call it left-handed. Sugars are the opposite, right-handed in their chemistry, but you can flip those and they should work in principle. But Earth life is incompatible with them and can't use them, but life could easily be envisioned that would be opposite our biochemistry and would be completely compatible. It may simply have been pure 50-50 chance that Earth went the way it did. And this actually would give us one proof if we saw opposite chirality in a microbe from Mars or Europa, that it is indeed alien, and not a product of panspermia from Earth. Another option is arsenic life. One major feature of biology on Earth is its dependence on phosphorus. While this is still carbon-based life, it's possible for biochemistry to incorporate arsenic instead of phosphorus. Arsenic is poisonous to most life on Earth, but if life started with it as an alternative, it seems possible. Another possibility is known as borane biochemistry. We can't have this here on Earth. In our atmosphere, they are explosive. But other atmospheres can be envisioned where it would be stable. This would be a rare form of biochemistry, however, as anything to do with the element boron seems to be rare in the universe. It's not a common element. And then there are alternative solvents for the chemistry of life to exist in. Here it's water, but there are other options, such as ammonia, and perhaps further out there solvents, which include hydrogen sulfide and hydrogen fluoride, though they seem less chemically ideal for life as we know it. For life as we really do not know it, we have liquid methane, and we have an example of this in the solar system with Titan. Any life on Titan would use liquid hydrocarbons as a solvent and function at very low temperatures. It's plausible, but much work is needed on Titan directly to answer this question. Perhaps the most interesting liquid, however, is silicon dioxide-based biochemistry, or in short, life in molten lava. This would be very high temperature life based on silicon using lava as a solvent for biochemistry. And that brings up another class of how life might exist. Life not based on carbon at all, but some other element entirely. Silicon is the best candidate here because while not as wide-ranging in its possible chemistry as carbon is, it still does have a numerous amount of possibilities. A further outlier in this regard is sulfur, which can also have wide-ranging but somewhat more limited possibilities as an alternative to carbon. Even further are some of the metals that can exhibit interesting chemistry with oxygen, but it's unclear how any such life could gain any kind of complexity. Worth mentioning here is the idea of XNA, or xenonucleic acids, as an alternative, but still overall genetic in structure similar to RNA or DNA. But perhaps the most intriguing ideas involve plasmas, such as dust, suspended in plasmas showing some characteristics of life, and other ideas. But there we get into the deep question of what exactly is life, and those may not qualify no matter the definition we go with, if they indeed happen. But there is now a new dimension to the question of non-carbon-based life and research released in September. This involves autocatalytic reactions. These are various self-sustaining chemical reactions that might support biology, but in a very different way than anything that's been previously envisioned. Autocatalysis is key in life on Earth. In other words, molecules are produced that encourage the same reaction to happen when the materials needed are present. One molecule encourages the formation of another molecule that wouldn't otherwise happen. This is most evident in reproduction. One cell divides to become two, at its most basic. Which, like the molecule, life encourages the formation of more life, and may have been a key feature in abiogenesis. That, however, was limited to organic chemistry. But autocatalytic reactions outside of organic chemistry apparently are more common than once thought, with researchers finding 270 examples in past literature in many different environments, very different from the conditions of Earth. Some even involved elements not involved with life on Earth, such as thorium and mercury. Though a number of these are only going to happen under extreme pressure, or either very high or very low temperatures. Even elements that rarely react with anything exhibited involvement in a few autocatalytic cycles. But most of them were really simple, only involving a few reactions before stopping, unlike what's seen in organic chemistry. And many of the examples have never been confirmed. There's still much work left to do in chemistry. An interesting aside here is that this work in trying to figure out alternative biochemistries using this method also could aid in the development of chemical computation, a sort of wide-open realm of using molecules to compute. Imagining alternative life is difficult again because of the inherent biases. We view it all too often from the lens of our biology, but there have been cases where even doing that has proven problematic. A fine example here is the father of microbiology, Antony van Leeuwenhoek. Seeing microbes under a microscope, in the 1670s, he called them little animals, which today is not really the correct term for a microbe. They aren't giraffes, but he went with what he understood at the time. With alien microbes, the effect is much worse. If someone today saw an anomalous microbial organism under a microscope in a rock from Mars, it may not be readily evident that that's what that is. If you saw a group of perfectly square metal cubes on the surface of Mars, you might realize that they are really unlikely to be natural objects. Too weird. But there would be debate about it. Once it was established that they are unlikely to be natural, you could then hypothesize that they are a product of life one way or another. But what does that mean? Are they technological products, or are they some deposits made by a mystery organism with no analog here on Earth? It's difficult to tell. You'd need to analyze them directly, and that might give you insights, but unless you see how they were made, the question of what put them there or grew them would remain open, perhaps indefinitely. While an exaggerated example, the question of not recognizing life that we don't know is one of the big challenges of direct life-detecting experiments in environments like the ocean of Europa or the freezing surface of Titan. We may not know what to look for, and can only hypothesize ways based on our ideas of alternative biochemistry to even try. In other words, alien life may be far more alien than we currently imagine, even in its simplest forms. In its complex forms and technological forms, it may be even worse. It could even be, in the grand scheme of things, our kind of life is the rarest one. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently pondering the boring life. Do not make first contact frivolously with such a creature. In the euphoria of having found each other in the depths of interstellar space, the celebrating boring aliens and the air-breathing carbon aliens forgot to do a biochemistry check, and it all went boom right in the neutral asteroid meeting room. Not good, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular, in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.